My name is Cole, and I am a grateful addict. Why grateful? Growing up, the outside looked very happy, and like I was doing all this fun stuff with my family. But internally, it was hell. I ended up constantly in the midst of struggles between my parents, physical, emotional, verbal, and the sexual came from my cousin. So I've been through a lot at a very early age. By the age of 12, I had experienced all these horrid things that I feel a child should not have to go through, and was very depressed and didn't know how to handle situations. In school, I was constantly bullied and picked on because I wasn't like the rest. I wasn't like everybody else. I couldn't find my place to fit in. So this just compounded my problems and made things even worse internally for me. I started hurting myself to the degrees of being hospitalized for suicidal tendencies and plans for wanting to kill myself. I hated life. I hated everything about everything. There was no positivity. There was no sunshine whatsoever. All I wanted to do was end it. Drugs and alcohol came along and like, woohoo, now I'm having a great time. I don't have to worry about that other shit because I can't do anything about that and I'm just going to get shit-faced. That turned into a real problem. In a matter of years, not only was I drinking, smoking pot, I was also shooting heroin and crack, smoking both of those, lost my job, lost my car. I ruined several other cars that I did not take with permission. I did not take the credit cards with permission. I did not take money with permission. I didn't care. I was all about self. Now I had no place to stay. Living in a car? Oh, that car is gone now too. So what do? Continue on, like we always do, because insanity is my strong suit, and I'm just going to continue repeating the cycle. Now I'm living under a bridge with no job, no car, no money, barely a cell phone that works, wondering how the F I got there. At one point, I'd have a PICC line put into my arm, which didn't last for very long, because I know that I wanted to die, and I know that I was only hurting myself with the drugs, and actually contemplated using the PICC line to end it. I had them remove it. This continued on, and next thing I know, I had a staph infection in my back, which almost paralyzed me. But still, that wasn't enough. A couple years later, that staph infection came back. I had a UTI, and then on top of that, my temperature was 103 and couldn't figure out why my chest was hurting. Had endocarditis in one of my heart valves. Was in the hospital. Saw a guy, you know, he was holding, thinking it was a smart idea, hooked up to an EKG machine, and they wouldn't know to go in the bathroom in the hospital. Really? Talk about insanity at its finest. Well, that ended up blowing out one of my lungs, and they banned him from visiting me, and I spent the next 4 months in acute hospital, post-acute hospital, round-the-clock antibiotics to not only fix the endocarditis, but also the staph infection that was paralyzing me for the second time. I met somebody in this hospital, and I still know this person today. We ended up hanging out after I got out, and that didn't go so well either, because, you know, I thought I was okay until I wasn't, then right back off to the races again I go. It came down to the court system saying, hey, you can either do drug treatment, or if you go in for inpatient, we can go ahead and get you put on a DPA, and that's what I figured I better do, because otherwise I'm going to be a felon in drug court, and I hear that's really hard, so let me find an easier, softer way, right? So I was going to go in for inpatient for 30 days, and that was my plan, to go right back out there. Somewhere along the lines, in those 30 days, something clicked. Just one person that didn't know me saw something in me that I still don't know how she saw in me. She gave me that hope, faith, and courage that I have been longing for. I didn't know it at the time, but this was the moment everything started to change. Spent 3 months in residential treatment, moved out to Project Teed afterwards, spent 3.5 years miserable because I hate being around people, and was not happy with their rules. Little did I know that these rules and guidelines and things that they had me do were actually there to help me. Consistency, a schedule, keeping myself accountable were all stepping stones to get to where I'm at today. In the process, I had to go to meetings. Came into my first CA meeting, and there were a bunch of these ladies that I now call the owls, all happy and smiling, go lucky, and I absolutely hated them. Like you were saying, Cece, how are they so happy? What's going on? You know, I totally could relate. These people are freaking crazy. Like, there's no way. They got to be on something. So I pushed along because I was told to go to a meeting 3 times, and if I didn't like that meeting after the 3rd time, then choose a different meeting to go to. I still go to that meeting on a regular today, and it's been 6 years. I continued forward and finding different meetings to go to, and now today I am grateful to call CA my home and you guys my family. Again, it is a choice who I choose to call my family. And people in these rooms today have become my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles. There's Mama Carmen, who is awesome and patient and tolerant with my stubborn ass. Because I don't like taking suggestions, and I still think there's an easier, softer way. However, it is written in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that there is a way out. And if we follow the steps written in the book by admitting that I have a problem and that my life has become unmanageable, I can continue to move forward. And I have found over the years that there are many ways that these steps can be applied, not just to drugs and alcohol, but to other life issues. After the 9 months of not really doing any work and finally getting a sponsor and doing the work because that pink cloud vanished, I started to see, okay, maybe there's a purpose to these steps. See, my issue was I could get clean and sober and stay that way for a little while, but my head would put me right back there. My head would take me back to that depression. My head would take me back to what's the point in life. My head would take me back to all the negative aspects and things that I never wanted to feel again. So I figured the steps are my way out. I don't have to be that miserable, depressed, suicidal individual that I was when I was 5, when I was 12, when I was 19, when I was 25. Hell, even my first year of sobriety was pretty freaking miserable because I had no program. I had no step worked up. So after getting honest with myself and admitting that I needed help, I had to figure out what the hell I believed in. And it sure wasn't what I grew up with. So for a while, people in the rooms were my higher power. People in the rooms were what I looked to find strength and guidance. They're the ones I turned my decisions over to because I didn't know how to make decisions for myself. Step 4. I love to write. I still love to write. And honestly, I was told to start saying I love to write, so maybe I'll get it in my head that I love to write. I hated this step. I still hate this step. It's a hard step. Not only is it a fact-finding step about oneself that I really don't want to face, right? But it involves sitting still and writing. If anybody knows me, they know I don't do either or very well for very long. So if you ever get a note from me or a handwritten letter, consider yourself lucky because twice in a year is rare, okay? So yes, I do struggle with that. I do struggle with putting my thoughts on pen and paper because for me, I've always found talking about something with a like-minded individual will get me to loop around to my solution through talking about it. I just need somebody to listen. However, that's not always available to me, right? because I understand we all have lives. I understand there are going to be times when people don't pick up their phone. I understand that I have to find something outside of people because humans will fail us. They all will fail us in one way, shape, or form. But it's okay. We're human. We make mistakes. So, wasn't fearful of talking to my sponsor about my forced up after a few years of trying to get it done. Which isn't right, and it's not how it could be done. But that's my story, and that's how I went about doing it, right? So, talking to her about it, I sat with it, prayed on it, realized some character defects that are really glaring that I really need to work on, and turn them over to a higher power of my own understanding, because now at this point I've created a list of things I want my higher power to be like, and it's not just relying on people in the rooms or going to meetings anymore. It's something bigger than myself. In doing that, I've learned to pray a little more, meditate a little more, rely on something bigger than myself, because there are a few women in this room, and even not in this room right now, that don't always answer their phones, and I understand that, and that's my cue. Hey, maybe I should talk to HP about this. So today, that's what I try to turn to first. Am I perfect? No. Can I progress? Yes. But that's the great thing about this program, is I can always get better, right? If I choose to, because now at this point I have a choice to continue to get better rather than going backwards. I never, ever want to feel like I need to hurt myself or that life is worth dying, because that makes no sense, right? Like, I haven't been put here to live for so long just to go kill myself at this point. Making a list of the people and places and things that I did harm to in my fourth step was easy, because it's just a list. I actually had to add some to this list because it's been so long now that, you know, I definitely needed to add a couple names. Things that I wasn't angry at that I still owe amends to. And then step 9 is going into and making these amends, and they're not easy. I've waited really long to do one with my mom. It was challenging and hard because, one, I wasn't ready. Two, there was constant disbelief that I was actually doing this. Because, again, I tried staying clean and sober by myself for a while. And it wasn't always a promise that I'm going to stay this way and I'm going to do it this time. And so for 2 years, I was accused of still using and not doing the whole recovery thing. Today, my mom and I don't have that same relationship. Today, my mom has a better understanding of the program, of what I'm doing, and how, for me, this is a lifetime choice that I make every day. Because without this, not only am I going to go back to white-knuckling it, I'm also going to go back to wanting to hurt myself and not feeling like I have a purpose. Step 10 is constantly looking at myself and, okay, oops, I shouldn't have done that. All right, let me take a minute and go talk to said person. 11 and 12, just continuing to maintain that contact with my higher power, which I do need to work on. I have been slacking. Progress, not perfection. And step 12 is carrying the message to like-minded people that could use some help. Currently, I only have 4 that are working on anything. There are more that call me their sponsor. I don't care what you call me. If you need some help, I'm here. I've always worn my heart on my sleeve, and that in itself is a character defect. However, I'd rather help people than not be there for them. I haven't hurt myself since the day I went into treatment. For me, they go hand in hand. I am a grateful addict. Without my addiction, I wouldn't realize that life is worth living and that there is a way out. I am so happy that I went through all I went through, because if I wouldn't have, I would still be a miserable individual, probably dead with committing suicide, and never made it here. I am so grateful to have everybody in this room, so grateful for all the people in my life today that I can call on, rely on, and depend on. Not everything's perfect. Not everything ever will be. But that's the reality of the nature, right? Like, to have that expectation is unrealistic. I don't know where my journey is going to lead me to, but I know it only gets better from here. I know that my growth, my love, and my happiness can only go up. As long as I continue to do what's right, as long as I continue to apply these principles and these steps in my daily affairs and people that meet outside these rooms, not just opening the door for an older lady, but also taking these principles into my workspace, into my home, into the shopping center and the bank. Because every one of us, myself included, is spiritually sick, and we could all use some help. So by being there for somebody else, I'm being there for myself, and I'm helping myself continue in maintaining my sobriety. And that is my intention and my goal, and I hope HP has the same plans for me. With that, I pass.